It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, folks, it's your old buddy Luke Clayton, and what about all this rain? Our show last week, we were talking about rain. Rain is the top topic right now. I guess we can't ignore it. But a good friend of mine, Donald Kelly, who is, in my opinion, probably the most experienced hog trapper. Well, no doubt, he is the most experienced hog trapper that I know. And he spends a whole bunch of time in the backcountry. And actually, he's on a four-wheeler right now. He's been running hog traps. Donald, thank you, man, for spending some time with us.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, I admire what you do. It requires people think that don't know, you know, they probably think, well, go out and catch a hog or two. Maybe it is easy to catch a hog or two, but to, you know, it's for years, you know, you catch hogs for the meat market, you know, you sell them to the meat buyers and then also to game ranches. It's something. How long you been trapping, Donald?
Oh, pretty good while, on and off for probably the last 27 years.
Yeah, that's what I say, folks, one of the most experienced hog trappers. Is there any way to estimate a wild guess how many hogs you've caught and trapped through the years?
Goodness, oh, Lord.
Thousands?
It's been quite a few.
I don't guess
I could put a number on it. I really don't
just
know.
Lots of them. Right, you know, right now, with all the high water, well, you're out, you've been running your traps and well, probably baiting them too. And folks, Donald is right up here in northeast Texas, right here close, real close to us. But what's the water doing to, is it actually pushing hogs up on high ground? Do you think that really, obviously they won't drown, but does it move them a lot, do you think?
Yeah, it seems to pretty good. It's funny, the water will, it'll run them right out of there, and then the next day and night, if it doesn't rain, they'll be right back in there. So,
yeah, I guess I had a good friend one time that had a bunch of land, actually 6,000 acres black land, and he said when it rains, and especially in the fall, he said it's like a big mud pie to these hogs, you know?
It is.
That's the way he described it. But you know, it makes getting, I imagine, you know, grubs and worms and roots and everything that a wild hog eats, the wet ground's got to make, it probably makes their life a little bit easier, really.
Yeah, I would think so. That seems to be my best time is after we've got a good muddy rain, muddy the ground up good, and then when it stops the rain and then it clears off, that's usually when I do the best.
If it keeps
raining like this, it's up and down, probably more down than up, but once it breaks off, I think they're calling for a lot of sunshine next week, so I'm hoping to do good next week.
Well,
what the weather does.
I bet you will. You know, Donald, I've mentioned to the readers up there a little bit in my newspaper column and all, and I think I've told you, I'm about two-thirds of the way finished with a book on hog hunting. And you know, I've read a bunch of books, well, four or five different books by people that they give the history of the hog and this, that, and the other. But really, I've never read a book or never read a lot of information on what I call nuts and bolts hog hunting. You know, I mean, things like people that I mean, I've hunted hogs all my life. They're really a passion of mine to hunt. But, you know, people that things like, you know, coon trails. If you get on a coon trail and there's a hog in the country, he's going to be on that trail. I know this is stuff that you probably forgot 30 years ago, you know, that you've known forever. But that's the kind of stuff that I try to include in, that I've tried to include in this book. But I want to spend some time, you know, we have a day planned here in the, maybe in the next couple of weeks where I can get with you in this book, not only just hog hunting, but I want to, you know, give some trapping tips, Donald, because I truly believe trapping is one of the best ways to control their numbers, you know?
Yeah, I think it is about the best way. I know a lot of times people like the dog hunters. They like them to come out, but they might catch one or two, maybe three, but they'll run the pack off, and the pack may come back, or they'll run it over, you know, somebody else's place and tear it up, so... really not getting rid of them. You're just moving them around.
That's a good way. You know, did I just hear a hog squeal? Have you got a hog with you right now?
No, I don't.
Okay, I might have heard something in the background. I know you're back probably in the middle of nowhere right now, but have you been actually running the traps or baiting them this today?
Mainly draining the water out of them, trying to bait them back, but they're pretty much full of water. What isn't underwater?
Yeah. Well, let's get some tips. That of course, I consider you a professional hog trapper. You really are. But say a guy that just wants to catch an occasional hog to eat. You know, about like me, I've got a little 6-foot hog trap and. Sometimes I don't even set it, but other times I'll probably catch on the average of 6 or 8 hogs a year, you know.
Yeah.
And I keep it's not a big trap, so the ones I catch are probably going to usually be 150 pounds or less. But when you're baiting a trap, is there any sequence or any way? Say you see a whole bunch of hog sign, and you want to set out a hog trap and start hammering these hogs. How do you start your baiting? Sequence.
Well, I usually try to, you know, find the main trail on the place. You might find 2 or 3 different trails. If you find the heaviest trail and set up kind of close to that, not right on top of it, and just tie your traps open, and you might bait the first day or two around the outside and the inside. Once they start picking that up on the outside, then don't bait on the outside anymore. Just bait a few days on the inside good. If you feel like you're getting them in there pretty good, then go ahead and set it. A lot of times, if you just set it right away, it seems like you catch the little ones, the young ones that quite as smart as the bigger hogs.
How far do you think corn? Now, just regular. I've seen hogs smell just regular old shell corn. When I know they were smelling it for the first time in a particular area, but I know they smelled it from a distance. Donald, how far do you think they can actually smell corn?
Oh, goodness. I believe a long way. I've sat and watched them in a field before root something out of the ground 2 feet deep. They can smell it through that dirt.
That far. Folks, we're visiting with good. You bet. We're visiting with Donald Kelly. Donald's northeast Texas up here around Cooper and, well, right up here in KETR country, but he's been trapping hogs a long, long time. And I bet a lot of you that are listening probably know Donald. So soured corn or soured wheat or maize, would that be a good bet for, say, the first time you're trying to get a hog into an area? Or is that a foreign smell they might not want, you know?
Sometimes it works. To me, I think I've tried everything that you've ever heard of in your life. It seems like to me, just plain corn right straight out of the bag is good. And I've got on a place right now that the deer is pretty heavy, and I've actually soaked that corn in diesel for 2 or 3 days instead of just getting it wet with diesel and throwing it in the trap. Just soak it under, submerge it in diesel for 2 or 3 days and throw it in the trap, and they will clean that up.
Well,
and it'll keep the deer
point.
Out.
Why do they like that? Now, deer won't fool with it, will they?
No, I haven't seen that happen yet. I think the diesel's kind of like the creosote on the telephone poles. If you notice when they set new poles out, the creosote's heavy on those old hogs. Will just rub that stuff to death. I think they get in that diesel like that, and they'll waller around in it. I think it kind of acts the same as the creosote seemed like. But they'll eat it too.
That's what I'm saying. They like to. It's not just to get in there and get it on. You know, a lot of hogs, the truth is, they carry, you know, some of them have lice, especially in the summertime. And any kind of oil or grease or whatever, you know, it's a known fact that they really go for that. But they still eat the corn, even though it's got the diesel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll eat it up. I guess it doesn't hurt them. I was told by an older man one time that pigs have glands inside their legs that extract poison from their blood, and he claimed that the old-timers way back in the day used to actually worm their hogs with strychnine, just small doses, not nothing big. But
Well, I'll be, yeah. It's. Let me ask you this. This is an interesting topic because I'm 65 now, and I grew up in Red River County, Well, back through the 50s, I was just a little kid, and in the 60s, I got up big enough to get in the woods quite a bit. You know, I was 10 years old in 1960. But I remember back in the day, Donald, two different places up there in northern Red River County, where I was north of Dimple, where I was raised, finding an old catch pen back in the woods. And there's a gentleman lived in an old house not too far down out in the country from us. His name was Dennis Collins. He was, well, in 1960, he was probably 80 years old, you know, something like that. But he told me about that. He said, you know, what we used to do, son, we would build these catch pens, and our hogs were free range. You know, they'd put a swallow fork or whatever kind of mark they had in their ears. Each farmer had a mark, you know, back in the day. That's when hogs... They always have been valuable, I think, but that's when a hog was worth something, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It was food. Well,
yeah, it was actually a man's livelihood at one time.
Yes, sir, it was. And anyway, so catch pen, he used to say, well, they'd eat when the acorns were gone, when they got that, you know, when they got through cleaning up the acorns, we would bait that thing up with corn, just those regular dry corn in there, and bait them up and catch them. Have you ever run into one of those old catch pens? That you remember?
I've seen something that I wasn't sure if it was one of those or not. So it's I can't really say that it was because I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah.
But I know a lot of people used to run them down here in these bottoms, and this time of year here a little bit earlier, they would get in the wild onion.
Oh, yeah. Hogs literally love wild onions. And I can remember shooting a couple of them with a bow, and I heard the old hog had his head down in his sow. I remember one in Cedar Creek Bottoms. Remember it vividly. I was kind of way back in there with a bow, and I heard this water dripping. And actually, this old sow, I snuck up downwind of where the sound was coming from. This old sow would stick her head under the water. The water was standing, you know, 6 or 8 inches deep. Pick her snout up, and that's where the water dripping was coming from. I mean, I'll never forget that. It was a stand of wild onions. You could smell them, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But they're just wild onions right now, just about played out around where I'm
at.
Yeah,
I think they're about gone.
Yeah.
A little sooner.
Well, Donald, I do appreciate just having a chance to visit with you on the air. And
yes,
I know
sir.
I know a lot of people listening are probably friends of yours and that know you up in Northeast Texas. And you know, the skills that you've got, I admire because you got to be a pretty good woodsman and an outdoorsman to do what you do. How many traps do you have, you know?
Oh, I think right now I'm running 14, I believe.
That's a bunch to keep track of. And then people don't realize how Western it can get when you're getting these hogs. I know I've been around a lot of it, but... Boy, I mean, it could get tedious.
Yeah, it sure can. We caught a real nice sow the other day. She weighed 300 pounds exactly.
Ooh.
In a trap that had been sitting in the same spot for I don't know how long, several years.
Yeah.
It was anchored down. She moved the trap, picked it up, tore it up, reshaped the whole thing, and moved the trap down the wheat field a little piece.
Wow.
We had to take a John Deere gator and four-wheelers and all that and chains and try to pull that thing some kind of way we could get her out of it.
She just pulled
it over on top of her, but we managed to get her out of that thing.
Well, Donald, we are about out of time. You don't know how much I've enjoyed visiting with you, talking about hog trapping, and our listeners, I know they did too, and we'll get you back soon. How about it?
All righty.
Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and I really appreciate you tuning in each week. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Rhino Steel Buildings, Margaret Holmes, and Glory Brand Seasoned Canned Goods, Hunter Supply, Snaplock Hunting Blinds, the Texas Deer Association, R&L Air Gun Supply, Smokin' Tex, Electric Smokers, Air Guns of Texas, and Sun Optics USA. Make sure and tune in this time next week. We're going to have some more fun talking hunting and fishing.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.